This is your KBNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, September 10th. I'm Audrey McCabe. Alec Lindeman was the Democratic nominee for Colorado House District 58 until this past Tuesday. As it turns out, Democratic Party officers failed to file proper paperwork to put him on the ballot. The Telluride Times reports that Susanna Smith actually ran for a seat in the primary, but only as a placeholder. She always intended to withdraw from the race once Democrats found a viable candidate. Lindeman, who serves as the executive director of the Crested Butte Mountain Theater, stepped up. The Democratic Party House District 58 Vacancy Committee was in charge of filing paperwork with the Secretary of State to withdraw Smith and to have Lindeman replace her on the ballot. But, according to the Secretary of State, that paperwork wasn't received until more than 2 months after the vacancy committee meeting. The Times says the Secretary of State's office accepted Smith's withdrawal, but the vacancy committee missed the July deadline for submitting Lindeman's appointment. The district represents 8 counties, stretching from Cortez to Crested Butte and skews to the right. Incumbent State Representative Larry Don Sukla won his initial election in 2024 with 54.6% of the vote. Since there is now no Democratic nominee, Sukla is running unopposed. The House District and Vacancy Committee Chair, Jim Starr, explained that he was notified of the missing forms last week, and though he was initially convinced that he had sent them in, he realized he had confused them with a different set of paperwork. Starr took full responsibility for the error and said he thought Lindeman, quote, had a long but possible shot at winning the race, and that makes the situation even more difficult. Lindeman told the Telluride Times that he plans to run again in 2028. And in wildlife news, Colorado Parks and Wildlife had to euthanize a bear in Durango last weekend after it got sick from eating trash. CPW was contacted about a black bear in someone's yard that appeared lethargic and unresponsive to humans. When District Wildlife Manager Luke Clancy arrived, he heard the bear moaning and observed that it was incredibly bloated. It was unable to move aside from standing up and pivoting from one side to another. The bear was darted and CPW performed a health assessment, and 3 officers made the decision to euthanize the roughly 300-pound male bear. Upon examination, the agents found that the stomach and upper intestine were completely blocked with trash, including entire plastic garbage bags and at least 10 non-flushable cleaning wipes. Clancy says, "We had not seen this bear since 2012, when it was caught during the research study in Durango. We estimated this bear was now 18 years old. It's a pretty horrible way to die for a wild bear that we hadn't seen involved in any conflict or nuisance behavior in all these years." District Wildlife Manager Stephanie Taylor noted the plastic was so compacted in the upper intestine that the bear no longer would have been able to digest food and would have slowly starved to death over the course of months if it didn't die from illness or infection sooner. This is a sad reminder that bears finding their way into residential areas and accessing trash is not only unsafe for humans, but also unsafe for the bears themselves. CPW says this incident is an urgent reminder to the public, residents, visitors, and business owners alike to properly secure trash to avoid human-bear conflict. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order directing the Department of the Interior to look into whether gray wolves should be taken off the endangered species list. It's something Western lawmakers have previously tried to do through Congress. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
Republican Jeff Hurd, who represents Western and Southern Colorado, co-sponsored a bill that passed the House last year to delist gray wolves, though it has yet to clear the Senate. In a telephone town hall last week, Hurd said he thought his district was being forced to endure wolves after voters approved their reintroduction in 2020.
It's not fair that we're doing this to our producers. It's not been transparent. It's not been accountable in terms of how oftentimes the state of Colorado has handled this. And delisting the gray wolf under the Endangered Species Act is, I think, a step in the right direction. I've heard that loud and clear from my agricultural producers.
On social media, Hurd said he appreciated Trump's executive order and said it would help ranchers deal with the cost of depredation. Wolves were largely driven out from much of the lower 48 during the 19th century, mainly to protect the interests of ranchers. But research has shown that wolf depredations do not contribute significantly to declining cattle herd sizes. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The projector at Delta Egyptian Theater failed during a showing of a film over Mother's Day weekend. The failure initiated an intensive fundraising campaign to replace the vital piece of equipment. To celebrate the new projector and the 98th anniversary of the iconic theater, the local nonprofit that manages the venue will host the Delta Egyptian Theater Film Festival. The festival is made possible with support from the Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media. For KVNF, Lisa Young spoke with Brian Wade, theater and film manager, about the one-day event taking place on Saturday, September 26th.
Brian Wade describes the film festival as a celebration of the community, the theater, and an opportunity to showcase a few filmmakers on the Western Slope. The day is broken into two film showcase blocks.
The first part, starting at 10:30 a.m., is the Western Slope Student Showcase, and that includes filmmakers from local high school film exposure programs, filmmakers from CMU Tech, and filmmakers from CMU.
Wade says the film festival is a great opportunity to get students before an audience where they can show their short movies and discuss what the art means to them and get valuable feedback. The second film block in the afternoon and evening will offer two full-length features, both filmed locally.
And then at 4 p.m., we're showing the film Cinemortal, which was actually filmed inside the Delta Egyptian Theater by a group of recent film school graduates who wanted to celebrate their graduation by creating a feature film. They crowdfunded the production. I think it was about $30,000, and it was written and directed by, incidentally, my son, Tycho Wade.
The film Graduates took over the theater for 12 days back in 2023, where they filmed a horror movie featuring, ironically, a group of film school grads who gather in an old theater to watch movies all night, only to discover that the haunted theater holds dark secrets in the basement.
So that one's really cool because, you know, they did a great job of making the Egyptian a character in the film as well as, you know, telling the story. And so it's pretty cool to see these scary things happen. And you look over to your left, and that's where it happened. You know, it's you're sitting in the seats where the action happens in the movie. So that's pretty cool.
Tycho Wade will be on hand after the showing to talk about the making of the movie. The final film will run at 7 p.m. and feature a new film by Grand Junction filmmaker Hank Braxton called American Vampires. The film, billed as a hyper-local Western Slope vampire movie, had its debut to a sold-out crowd at the Avalon Theater last month.
And so the big focus for the Delta Egyptian Film Festival on that day is, you know, really celebrating the creativity and the big swings that these Western Colorado filmmakers are taking and give them an opportunity to, you know, show these films in front of an audience. These screenings, you know, kind of take on kind of celebratory, almost, you know, party atmosphere as the audience, you know, sees places that they've been, where they're sitting, places that they love, talked about on film, and they have the opportunity to really share and celebrate movie making and hopefully the Egyptian theater and, you know, being part of this bigger filmmaking community that we have on the Western Slope.
For tickets and more information on the festival and films, head over to deltaegyptian.org. Tickets will also be available the day of the festival. However, Wade says they're anticipating a large turnout, so it's best to get tickets ahead of time. Incidentally, the Delta Egyptian Theater Film Festival will round out a day of entertainment alongside the inaugural Delta Comic Fest at the Delta Library. That event runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. For KVNF News, I'm Lisa Young.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, September 10th. I'm Audrey McCabe.